Greetings once again, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast. When a train goes through a tunnel, it gets dark. You don't throw your ticket away and jump off the train. You sit still and you trust the engineer. Trust God today, no matter how dark your situation is. God says, you are coming out. Trusting God, we can see only a little bit down the road, but God can see around the curve. These are quotes from Pinterest.com. My title this morning is, Do We Trust God? A definition of trust from Strong Exhaustive Concordance, number 928, is to be bold, confident, secure, sure. Webster's defines trust as assured reliance on character, ability, strength, or truth, or something or someone. Also, one in which confidence is placed. I'll cite a personal example of trusting God. 4 years after I was hired in the job, after I moved down here, I'll be 40 years here this past May. But after 4 years of working at the warehouse in cold storage, the employees voted in a union. And Friday and Saturdays were usually heavy shipping days. And when I applied for the job, the sign on the entrance into the office said Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. But when the union came in, that meant that everybody that was on the lower end of the seniority list would have to work. And that, of course, affected me. But I tried to get those guys who were high on the high seniority list that would not have to work for me. But each one turned me down as if they wanted me to get fired. They didn't have my best interest at hand. And so the general manager at that time called me in his office and said, we need to do something here before you get hurt. So he assembled the union officials, and we had a meeting. And they laid out the plan that you can work all overtime and work on Sundays. And I agreed to that. But you know how people think that if because you are working, you get an exception and you don't work on the Saturday. And for a couple of times when Sunday work was available, guys that don't normally work on Sunday to get back at me, they bumped me out of the position. But that only happened a few times because other times when Sunday work was available, I was the one that did it. 6 points that I want to give to help us in trusting God with our whole heart. Number one, don't depend on your own strength. We live in a world where trust must be earned, and it seems it is in very, very short supply. And we can see that happening every day in our world. But Solomon, the famous king who wrote the Proverbs, knew that trust is exactly where we must start. He states in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Proverbs Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Many today use human reasoning to make decisions, and we can see the results of those human reasoning decisions. Without God, our decisions are flawed. Most of us have faced disappointments, which have taught us that we can only depend upon ourselves. But living the life of a Christian that God has called us to means unlearning that concept. Instead, we are meant to rest in God's understanding. Dr. Ward, often in his messages he gives, he often states, the simple definition of faith is believe God and do what he says. He breaks down Hebrews 11:1. We may know in our minds that God possesses all wisdom. All wisdom comes from God. Human wisdom is, as I said, flawed. In Romans 11 and verse 33, let's turn over there. Romans chapter 11 and we read verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Sometimes when we endure or have problems, trusting God completely can be very difficult. We know many people who have suffered various illness and health difficulties. And it's a challenge when you are going through a various trials or various difficulties to trust God, but we must. Each day we must consciously lay aside our own plans and expectations and to surrender to God's plan. The second point is cry out to God. Surrendering to God begins with our lips and our thoughts. We each need more than a commitment to depend on God. We need to cry out to him to show that we have to depend upon him. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, Proverbs 3 and verse 6. It points out that where knowledge comes from. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, speaking of God. When we pray, we admit that his ways, speaking of God, are higher than ours. We show that we are leaving our troubles and burdens and dreams in his capable hands. The Bible promises that when we reach out to him in prayer, he hears us. And we can read that in Psalms chapter 55 and verse 17. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Psalms 55 and verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. But in order for that to work, we have to, my third point is run from evil. none of us will not dismiss the fact that there's a lot of evil around us. And there's a lack of common sense. And if we, as those called of God, don't run away from it, it can ensnare us also. So much of this world can clutter up our relationship with God. John, the writer of the fourth gospel, describes them as the desires of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride in our lives. That's a comment from 1 John 2 and verse 16. Our blessings can easily become our stumbling blocks when we think of them as something that we deserve or what we need to be happy. Life works better or best when we remember the true source of our blessings and focus on the things that please God. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, it speaks about being wise. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Verse 7 of Proverbs 3. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. At times, the only way to live the life God wants us to live is by separating ourselves from the bad influences that keep, being a burden on us. It works best when we start pursuing something else in its place. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, it gives us a warning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Of course, it's not easy. Fleeing from evil desires that pull at us means spending a lot of time crying out to God and learning from Him. Our Creator promised to honor our commitment to Him when we shun evil. And as Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8 brings out, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. I read verse 7 earlier. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone, shunning or running from evil. When we pursue God, we find life, and it can be abundant life. Running from evil and pursuing God doesn't come naturally to any of us. Instead, it means we have to make an effort or put forth the effort to make a serious change to our lives. The fourth point is put God first in our lives. It's easy to put ourselves first. When something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves with a reward. When something bad happens, we seek to console ourselves or to find someone to blame. We often have the me-centric as a starting place. And also when it comes to money, the struggles become even harder. But Solomon had quite a bit of wealth himself, and knew that his money didn't belong to him. As Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, verse 9 and 10, of Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. If we trust God with the first of our wealth, we are truly showing how much we depend upon him. Handing over the first tenth of our paycheck, it takes a huge amount of faith and courage. But when we do that, it means that we are God-centered. I'll go through another personal example on the same job. A few years later, the company initiated a new position as qualified warehouseman, a position that gave the person that did that job a 45-cent per hour raise. And at that time, I was somewhere in the middle of the seniority list. But as guys retired and move on or were fired, I move up that list. But I was told that because I didn't work on Saturday, I wouldn't be able to be eligible for that position. And no matter how many times I applied for it, I would always be turned down, because I didn't work on the Sabbath. But I endured it, and I had patience. And about 5 or 6 years before the job closed up, a new management team came in, and they did away with that stipulation and made everybody qualified warehousemen. So everyone received that extra 45 cents. And our pay grade. And that we were eligible to ship and receive and do many other things that qualified warehousemen did. The fifth point is check ourselves by God's word. If we are honest, we aren't so good at evaluating ourselves. We will go to great lengths to excuse our behavior. And we can look at what's going on around us, how many people, even in the political field or even in the business field, will use all kinds of excuses to justify their actions. Who needs a defense attorney when we can pretty much find a reason for any bad thing that we do? The prophet Jeremiah captured this concept very well in a familiar scripture that is known to most of us, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We of ourselves don't have the ability to know that. The only person that can know that is God. When they ask the question, who can know it? We see that under the influence of Satan, we can do some pretty desperately wicked things. If we are ever going to truly trust God and flee evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. We have to find an object measure that tells us the truth. And that truth comes from God's word. It doesn't mean that we will always like what we see or what we hear. In Proverbs 3 and verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Sometimes it takes bad things to happen to wake us up, to finally admit that we need to make a change in our lives. And the more we are in the Word of God, the more likely that is to happen. In Psalms 119, verse 11, it gives us an exhortation. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we have scriptures planted firmly in our hearts, God will often deal with us in a way that is easily understood if we are in God's word daily. The sixth point is, be guided by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to the church, he told his disciples that this counselor, or the spiritual compass, or in today's language, the spiritual GPS, will guide us. Let's read that in John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. Verse 26 of John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. As we go through our day, the same Holy Spirit guides each of us also. That means that we don't have to go it alone or hope that we are getting it right. The Holy Spirit leads us unto all truth, and it protects us, helps us to be loyal and faithful to God. Let's move over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and we read verse 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. That good things which was committed to you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in each of us. The question may be, why should we trust God? The list could be endless. If anyone deserves to be trusted, it is God. Let's take a look at a few reasons why we should trust God. Number one, God has always provided for us. We are alive, we are here. This means that God has provided for us and given us what we needed our entire life. His record, or his track record, is flawless. We wouldn't be where we are right now if it wasn't for God's loving care for our lives. There may be the question, or we may ask the question, if God has provided for us thus far in life and proven himself to us over and over again, what makes us think he won't provide for us tomorrow? Another point, God has proven himself faithful and he has proven himself patient. Not only has God proven himself faithful, he also loves each of us deeply. Mm-hmm. Of course, we sin daily, yet he is there loving us and showing us what the word patient really means when we repent. He always has his hand out welcoming us back to him when we stray away. He doesn't turn his back on us. We might use the phrase that we often use today, he has our back. In Romans 5 and verse 8, Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, as I read here in Romans 5 and verse 8. He deserves our trust because he could have given us the penalty for our sins that we deserve, and that would be death. But he didn't. He gave us his son to take our place so that we could live. And he, speaking of God, deserves our trust. Another point, God is fair. Pardon me, God is not a liar, which also means he's fair. If God says something is green and we can bank on the fact that it is indeed green, when God says something will happen, it might as well have already happened because it most certainly will. He speaks the truth and he is the truth, as John 17:17 tells us. As I said previously, we are here, we are alive. And that means that God has provided for each of us our entire lives. Throughout the course of our lives, we have told a lie or two, or maybe more. But we are human. We make mistakes. It may be humorous at how we tend to trust people that we know lie from time to time. But then we doubt the one who has never lied, never once, speaking of God and Jesus Christ. They have never lied, but we as human, we make mistakes, and we see in our world around us there's a habit of lying. Even after they have put their hand on the Bible, they still lie. Another point is, God is consistent. He's not inconsistent as we as human beings can be. Our friends and family do not always show up consistently throughout the course of our lives. However, our Heavenly Father is always consistent. And we don't have to worry about Jesus being loving one day and not loving the next day. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Another point, God knows you better than you and I, better than we do. Because he is God, he knows everything there is to know. One of the ministers in a sermon mentioned that God knows what we're going to think even before we think it. So that's something that we human beings cannot maybe fully grasp. But he knows our heart. He knows you through your thoughts, your heart, your ambition, your dreams, etc. We all have a deep desire to be understood and to be known. Our Heavenly Father knows every hair on our head. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valued than many sparrows. God is not surprised by our behavior. After all, he created us. Mankind has been acting this way since the beginning. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. It deals with history merely repeating itself. There is nothing new under the sun, as the Proverbs writer wrote. But in verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 1, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. As I conclude this morning, why should we trust God? Number one, God has always provided for us. Number two, God has proven himself faithful and patient. And number three, God is not a liar. He's faithful. He keeps his word. Number four, God is consistent. Number five, God knows you better, or you and I better, than we do. Have a great Sabbath and a great week, and we'll see you the next time we're in the area.